the second webcast in our series where Microsoft is talking about how to define success around enterprise mobility. And I'm joined with Michael Wallen and Brad Anderson from Microsoft. So just to kick it off, I wonder if you guys give us a little bit more information about your specific roles at Microsoft.
Sure, I get a chance to oversee a bunch of the engineering efforts that we do at Microsoft on enterprise mobility. You know, specifically things around endpoint management, PC management, mobile device management, as well as all of our desktop remoting capabilities. So I oversee the engineering efforts on Config Manager, Intune Remote Desktop Services, and our new Azure Remote app, where we just actually put that into general availability in the last 30 days.
And I'm the director of program management for Brad's team. Been working for Brad for more than 8 years now, and I'm responsible for defining both the product and the solution for all the things in Brad's engineering team, and spend a lot of time working with customers to truly try to understand how we build an awesome service that meets the customer needs.
You know, Michael and I have worked together on everything from MDOP to Config Manager, Intune. We ran all the anti-malware work for Microsoft. So really, if it touches the client in an enterprise, Michael and I have had a hand in building that at Microsoft.
I'm Stacy Crook, and I am a research director with IDC's Enterprise Mobility Research Practice. So what's interesting is that for all the talk about enterprise mobility and enterprise mobility management, it's still a fairly immature market. We just did our latest forecast in this space, and we found that in 2013, we just crossed the $1 billion mark in this market. And when you think about the more broader traditional security markets and systems management markets, that's just a tiny portion of the total revenue. So I think when we think about where customers are today in this journey, that they're very sort of in the early days. So when you're talking to customers about their enterprise mobility strategy, what are some of the things that you think that they should be thinking about as it relates to this space?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. This enterprise mobility management market is just in its infancy, just crossed the $1 billion line. By any kind of way you want to measure it, maybe 10% of the world's devices are actually covered with a license for enterprise mobility management. There's a lot of different players in the market today, and I think we're just about, first of all, to go through a pretty significant consolidation that you always see as a market matures. Mm-hmm. So I think, as I give advice to, CIOs and to CXOs as they're talking or discussing what their enterprise mobility strategy should look like, is I think you've got to do a lot of game theory about what's going to come in the operating system, how does enterprise mobility management integrate with the rest of your infrastructure, the rest of your investments across identity, productivity. And I think you have to step back and ask yourself the question, what does this market look like 1 year, 2 years from now? And the number one question that we hear is, hey, we hear Microsoft is coming really heavy into the market here with a whole bunch of innovation. Give us Microsoft's all-up strategy. But I think you just got to think holistically about how this market plays out over the next 1 to 2 years.
Mm-hmm. I've spent the last 4 out of the last 6 weeks on the road talking to customers and probably done. It's good to be back. And one of the things that's really been interesting is how many of the device management solutions that people have in place started with some departmental or point solution. And it would just cover a small fraction of the all-up enterprise. And really, one of the things that we talked a lot about over the last month is how they move from the departmental solution to an enterprise scale solution. And we've started to really talk to many of the same customers and groups internally that have done massive multi-hundred thousand PC solutions. And we hear time and time again that they need that same enterprise scale infrastructure that they've really used to run their PC estate and really bring that to the mobile device management estate. And when we talk to them about the investments that we're making in the infrastructure and in the combined infrastructure, they get really excited, I get really excited, and it really is an awesome opportunity.
Yeah, and we just actually finished up some research too that I thought may be interesting and kind of relevant. We went out and interviewed thousands of different IT pros, and we asked the question, if you've deployed an MDM solution or an EMM solution, which team in the enterprise is actually responsible for the operations of it? Because we wanted to understand, we've always had a belief that this would consolidate into the PC management team. And what the research found, again, this was thousands of responses, that 37% of the time it actually is the config manager team or the PC management team that has the responsibility for operation. That makes all the sense in the world to us, because we think organizations want one solution to manage all devices users are working on, PCs and mobile devices. 32% of the time the response came back that it was the exchange team. And that makes sense as well. Exchange ActiveSync is managing more devices than anything else in the world. And so I think the integration that we've done, where we've taken significant portions of Intune, embedded that into Exchange and Office 365 going forward, gives both of those constituents, the Exchange team as well as the Config Manager team, a set of capabilities to expand their influence, expand their role and their ability to help drive business by enabling them to take on additional management responsibilities.
Thinking about this from a device perspective a little bit, because we get a lot of customer inquiries, but customers often kind of start the mobility journey by thinking about the device, right? Yeah. So we get a lot of inquiries around bring your own, and certainly this is a huge trend in the enterprise, right? We believe by the end of 2014, which we have approached, right, that two-thirds of all all business use devices coming into the enterprise will be employee-owned.
Two-thirds.
But that still means that a third of the devices will be corporate-owned. So as enterprises are thinking about their strategies around devices, how often are you seeing that a combined scenario makes sense? How often do you see that companies are looking to have separate strategies for BYO versus corporate liable? And how do you suggest that they kind of approach this question that they have?
Well, when it comes to BYO, one of the interesting things that we talk to customers about is how do they consider that BYO device? Do they still consider that that's a personally owned device and they care a lot about the separation of personal and corporate data? Or we have other customers who, as soon as you have any corporate data on that device, it is 100% owned by the corporation, and they need the same degree of data protection and security on that device as they would on a device that came through their purchase order process. So that's really one of the first things we think about is, hey, is this really about still a personal device that's used in personal scenarios, or is it completely a corporate device? Mm-hmm. And then there's really a question of what applications and what experiences you expect the user to have on the device. Are they having a program corporate experience where there's corporate delivered applications that they want on that device? Or is it just a mobile productivity solution where it's about email plus attachment management on top of that? And then kind of the third thing that we spend a lot of time talking to them about is, what do you want people to do and not do on that device? Can they use that device to access the internet? Can they use that device to install Angry Birds or to put Spotify on that device? And the answers to that question really drive as to what degree of security you actually need and how open you want that device to be.
Mm-hmm. The one thing that's very consistent across, whether it's a corporate liable device or a BYO, is the desire for IT to enable users to be productive, but at the same time deliver the protection and security that IT is responsible for. And certainly on a BYO device, in most of the cases, IT is aware that the users are concerned about IT venturing in to the personal side of the device. Mm-hmm. In fact, there was some research that I read a couple of weeks ago where there was an interview done of a set of IT information workers. Mm-hmm. Their number one concern that they have of bringing their personal devices in is they didn't trust IT. And so a lot of the work that that we've been working on, again, across Identity, Office, and Intune, is to really enable IT to have just one common set of tools that is for corporate liable and BYO, but in that BYO, really being able to separate personal content from corporate content, enable IT to put policy on corporate content, but stay away from the personal content. Because these devices, I think about your phone, it becomes a very, very personal device. And then, it has all kinds of applications then. And one of the most important ones is, for any reason, IT needs to wipe the device, they should only be able to wipe the corporate side in a BYO device, but leave the personal things alone. Right. And there are some places, like in Europe, where that actually is heavily regulated, and there's corporate liability if you actually wipe, personal content. So
obviously, a lot of organizations start by thinking about devices when they think about mobility, but actually the most important thing is that your users can get access to the information on those devices, yeah, and that they can have a consistent experience from device to device that they may be moving through the day with. So can you talk a little bit about how Microsoft has put an emphasis on identity within the solution and how that helps with that issue?
Yeah, I'll start there. Identity is core and foundational to everything that we've done. I've worked in the identity space for 15, 16 years. I think it's more important today than it's ever been in our history. You think about these scenarios, again, whether it's corporate procured or BYO, the user needs to be able to register or identify the device to IT, because the way that IT works is they want to be able to put policy on the device, they want to put policy on apps, they want to be able to put policy on data, and all that centers on the user. And so the way that we've built everything is, you know, a user has a new device, whether it's, again, corporate controlled or corporate owned or BYO, the first thing they do on these devices is they simply log in to Azure Active Directory using their email address. Mm-hmm. And once they've authenticated and they've identified themselves, then all the policies and stuff can come on down, but everything keys off the user successfully identifying themselves. The other thing, and we're going to have a couple of entire webcasts on this, is in a world where our users are more mobile and they're using a greater number of devices, IT's need and necessity to be able to track and identify who's accessing what for auditability and for accounting is more important. That all, again, has to key off the identity. And so one of the things that we've done in the back end that is very unique as we think about the work that we've done to enable, like, secure email, all that eventually keys off of Azure Active Directory. That's where Office 365 authenticates against. That's where Intune authenticates against. And that's the work that I think that really is foundational. And what I encourage every ISV that I meet with, if you're building and you're delivering a solution that is going to be used in the enterprise, you need to use Azure Active Directory for your authentication source, just like the industry has used for the last 15 years Active Directory.
Right, and the core advance that we've made here is that we incorporate the device and the device health just as much as a criteria as the user in every authorization decision. And this really comes from the request that we hear from customers where they want to enable secure email. And secure email really is, I want to only deliver email and productivity on a device that's managed and compliant with my IT policy. And to get that, you need to understand the user and the device that they're accessing from, and to limit the access to those resources only to those devices that you've actually managed. And doing so with a consistent infrastructure is really core. And the work that we've done across Microsoft in the past year to make sure that both all of the Office services and the Office productivity applications, as well as the applications that come with Microsoft Intune or with Azure Active Directory, they all are keyed on that same user identity and device health.
Yeah, if you can, we're kind of do the Venn diagram where all the services that organizations are using from Microsoft, where they all come together, it's identity with Azure Active Directory.
So when we think about, enterprise mobility management, I mean, at IDC, our view is that eventually IT administrators are going to want a centralized way to manage all of the endpoints that they're responsible for, not a separate system for PCs and a separate system for mobile devices and a separate system for whatever other endpoints are coming into our future. So today, you know, we are certainly aware that Microsoft has System Center Configuration Manager. This is very broadly deployed PC management solution around the world. But as Microsoft went into the mobile side, you developed Microsoft Intune, which is a cloud-based solution. So I wonder if you can give us some insight into what you're doing to bring these solutions together and why you think that this is going to be the best solution for your customers.
When you look at SCCM, or System Center Configuration Manager, and the PC management that we do, many of those devices that we're managing are facing the corporate network. They're restricted, so some of them can't even reach the internet. And we manage those devices where they live. We manage them from the corporate network. And we also support managing the what we call internet-based client management, where you actually can have those devices be facing the internet and manage them in that way. But predominantly, the mobile devices that people use are actually internet-facing devices. They're not connected back through VPN or through some other mechanism back to the corporate network. So we thought, first and foremost, to manage those devices effectively, you need to manage those devices where they live. So the infrastructure that we set up for the back end to manage mobile devices, we thought it made sense to have it be internet-facing. And from an administrative point of view, we thought that the administrator, sometimes they'd be using the System Center Configuration Manager console and want to see both the PCs and mobile devices. And other times they might be on an internet-facing device where they wanted to manage their other internet-facing devices. So we want to have the infrastructure be where the devices are, whether it's on-premise or in the cloud. And we want to give the flexibility to manage, or to have the administrator be either on-premise or in a cloud-facing role.
And you know, this integration of PC management and mobile device management has been something that's been core to our vision and our strategy since day one. In fact, if you were to go back and look at the original vision document that Michael and I wrote about Microsoft's enterprise mobility management strategy, building and enabling those config manager administrators to expand their influence, expand their role by extending what they've done with PCs to include mobile devices was core to everything that we've ever invested in, what we've ever done. You know, Michael and I were just doing a bunch of customer visits, and one of the things that just really struck me again was just the sophistication and the amount of policy that people have built into Config Manager. You know, if you're doing any kind of sophisticated PC management, you know, lots of different software distribution, and you know, we've invested in how to deploy MSIs and app VApps from, you know, for 20 years on this. OS deployment across an enterprise, that upgrade, those are the kind of core scenarios that I think Config Manager is going to be used for a long, long time into the future. And the amount of investments and things that people have made in that is going to carry forward for many, many years. What's unique about what we've built now is we've now added onto that the ability to do mobile device management. And I think one of the most interesting customer examples of that is Mitchells and Butlers from the UK. You know, there's two individuals who are responsible for managing all the PCs in the organization. They are now managing more than 10,000 mobile devices. It's, you know, the iPods that the wait staff is using in their pubs, and then Android tablets that are being used at the front of the pub for the wait list. More than 10,000 devices, and it's the same two individuals that were managing the PCs that are also managing 10,000 plus mobile devices. Good for their careers, it's good for the organization, it's cost effective, and it's an integrated way to do all that management.
So when we think about cloud, right, a lot of customers want to move to the cloud, but the reality is they've also made a lot of investments which will keep a lot of their infrastructure on premise for this foreseeable future. In many cases it will be kind of a hybrid type deployment. So as you're talking with customers about their strategy for moving more of their infrastructure to the cloud, how do you advise them to think about this from a mobility perspective?
Yeah, you know, the Michael mentioned or referenced on this, you know, in the previous question. As we thought about how organizations would need to, the constant updates that would be coming out in the mobility market, you know, you think you're tracking updates to iOS, to Windows, to Android, they're constantly flowing. And, you know, most organizations tell us they struggle and they're challenged with constantly updating their infrastructures. And so one of the decisions we made early on was we effectively wrote Intune as a pure cloud service in a way that we could update that every single day if necessary with updates that enabled organizations to embrace these. And I'll give you an example. You know, the day that a new version of iOS is made available, you know, a huge portion of the world starts to upgrade it. I mean, it's actually an event.
Right.
And, you know, IT organizations need to be prepared on day one to when those new versions of iOS are rolling out. They need to be able to manage that. They need to be compatible. And so by delivering this as a service, we can update, you know, obviously we work closely with Microsoft, with Apple, with Google, and with Samsung to where we're involved in the early, you know, kind of beta previews of the different updates to the operating system. And day zero, day one, we're there, we're ready, and the service is ready to be updated. But the reality is, you know, Michael mentions, we also believe that you should manage your devices where they live. Some will be managed from the corporate network, some will be managed from the cloud, but we wanted to bring it all together. And so I think, you know, Michael and the team have come up with some great ideas that we call Weave Packs that allow us to build that integrated scenario.
You know, one other thing just about cloud versus on-prem, I think the conversation 10 years ago as we started down this service view around PC management was, all right, well, what do I have on-premise that I could move to the cloud? I think the conversation has shifted to what do we have on-premise that we can't otherwise move to the cloud?
Yeah.
And really having the conversation shift to it should all move to services over the long term. And we're seeing more and more cases where even in specialized, highly secure circumstances, people are willing to consider the cloud because they trust Microsoft and they understand the data that we're storing and they understand that we have that bond and promise with them that's ratified in our contracts and in our certifications. You know, but as Brad mentioned on extensibility, we've done a lot of work to make sure that we have new versions of the service that are available to take advantage of, whether it's Android L or iOS 8 or new versions of Windows Phone, new GDR updates that pop out. We do that on the service directly, but we also have these extensions that we internally call Weave Packs, where you can easily see from the System Center Configuration Manager console what are the new features that are available that you can download and basically bring into your infrastructure without doing even a hotfix or a service pack on SCCM. And folks are really excited about it. And that was one of the things that we were on the road and we were talking about these new capabilities, and we heard customers say, yeah, you know, I saw this one for email connectivity and I brought this down and it really helped me a lot. It was awesome to see how that really fast cycle really started to make a difference.
So organizations can choose. They can use the cloud console if they want to with Intune. They can use the Config Manager console, and as we update Intune, we also update the Config Manager console. So you get that single pane of glass. And you know, the reality is over time, you know, we'll continue to build more and more features into the cloud, and it'll become, you know, more and more rich with respect to PC management. But you know, we fundamentally believe for that rich, sophisticated PC management, most organizations are going to continue to use the Config Manager to do that.
So we spent a lot of time talking about the integrated management infrastructure that the customers will use to manage devices and apps. But let's talk about apps a little bit more themselves. Is there a set of apps that you see customers looking to have integrated these days?
Yeah, the primary app that everybody, well, not everybody, but just about everybody wants to go for is secure email. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, almost inevitably the first scenario that organizations are looking to enable as a part of their enterprise mobility strategy. And you know, it's one of those interesting things where when you think about what does secure email mean, it actually means much more than it appears on the surface, and there's actually much more work that has to be done to ensure that everything that's flowing through email is in fact secure.
Right, you know, we see people using, whether it's the native email or email clients from other vendors, but then they initially start with, wow, I want to get messages on my mobile device, but then as these devices become bigger, they become more functional, maybe I want to edit that Word doc a little bit, maybe I want to do a little bit of annotation, or maybe I really want to have an Excel spreadsheet that has more data in it that I actually want to do some real-time editing before I hit submit. I know I end up doing a lot of editing of stuff to satisfy our own internal business needs, and I want to be able to do work on any of those devices that I have.
And like these phablets, you know, I'm able to do a lot of work on that.
Absolutely. So, but it goes beyond just simple email with a connection back to the server to all the productivity applications, and then a real concern where once you actually have Word and Excel and PowerPoint on those devices, can you make sure that that corporate data is still protected and you have the same data compliance rules on that as you would for a device that was on, or for that data if it was on a PC in your workplace?
Yeah, so like a common scenario is I get a set of attachments or I get a set of URLs in email. When I open up those attachments, I want that all to be contained. You know, again, this concept of keeping corporate content separate from personal content. And that's why it's so important, the integration that we've done with the Office team, to where the applications are now shipping, natively instrumented to be managed, to be contained inside of the containers that we've shipped as a part of Intune. But also with Intune, we're now shipping a secure browser and secure readers. And so what that enables you to do is, as URLs, for example, are flowing through email and the user clicks on those, it can open up into a secure managed browser and you can keep all the corporate web access separate from the personal web access that is happening through the default browser.
Right, and it's really easy to indicate whether links that show up in email or in your other productivity applications, whether those show up in the native platform browser or whether those links show up in the managed browser that you have the same data protection capabilities on as you would for any of your other managed applications.
Yep. And then, Stacey, it's important to also note that as we've also shipped, you know, just recently in December, as we've shipped, you know, a wrapper that allows any internally developed line of business application to be wrapped to participate in our containers on iOS and Android. And we'll shortly be releasing an SDK that any ISV in the world can also use to be able to bring or enable and lighten their application to participate in the container. And I think one of the most important things to point out here is, you know, also all too, in so many cases, Office is kind of the centerpiece that everything revolves around. The Office application is now shipped natively instrumented to be managed by Intune. And so any ISV, any internally developed application can now also be enlightened to participate in those same containers that allows that sharing of content and data across the corporate applications with the ability to block that sharing to personal applications if that's what the way that the organization wants to operate.
So we spent a lot of time talking about technology, but one of the most important things for customers to consider is also the total cost of ownership of these solutions, right? So we always advise customers, you know, when you're thinking about buying a solution, you need to not only think about is the technology the right solution, but, you know, thinking about how these, you know, the technology is going to be maintained and supported over time. What kind of a burden is that putting on your IT staff? So it would seem to me that being able to consolidate vendors would be quite helpful in terms of lowering that TCO. And obviously, Microsoft has done a lot of integration between what you're doing in identity and management and the productivity applications. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the unique value in the EMS solution that Microsoft has brought together by it being an integrated solution versus the customer having to go out and
piecemeal it together.
Yeah.
You know, so we talk about this integration of identity, productivity, and management. And you know, if you put those into product names, it really is the integration of Office with the Enterprise Mobility Suite. And in the Enterprise Mobility Suite, we have our traditional MDM and MAM capabilities, but all of the identity management as well in there. And so first of all, we've actually are doing the work to integrate that for and behalf of the customer. All too often, organizations will purchase a set of components, then they have to assemble those, and there's all the integration costs, all the administration costs of keeping it updated, keeping it secure, and that's often many, many, many times what the license cost or the subscription cost is. Right. And so we've done that work for and in behalf of the customers, and that's one of the things I think that I'm most proud of with what we're delivering across identity management protection. But I also go back to kind of my days when I was getting an MBA, and they talk about product, packaging, pricing, and promotion, kind of the four P's. And you have to, and ultimately the winner in the market is the one who delivers, the best four P's, if you will, for the customer. So I think if you kind of step back and say, well, hey, Microsoft's done a great job in integrating the technology, let's talk for just a minute about packaging and pricing. The Enterprise Mobility Suite is, around $4 per user per month for all the mobile device management, mobile application management, identity management, and data protection. Okay, so I talk about these four layers of protection. $4 per user per month, that's a great deal. As I compare that to what other vendors in the market do, other EMM vendors, they charge more than that per user for less functionality. But then I think it even gets a little bit better. On December 1st, we had a new offering hit our price list. And the majority of enterprise organizations have what we call an enterprise agreement with Microsoft. And with that enterprise agreement, they effectively cover all their users with Windows and Office, as well as the client access rights to Exchange and SharePoint and Config Manager and Windows Server. What we put on the price list in December was an organization who has that platform EA can now upgrade to this thing that we call the Enterprise Cloud Suite. And with that Enterprise Cloud Suite, they get Enterprise Mobility Suite, Office 365, and a per-user license of Windows. And it's just a little over $6 per user per month to get all of that. Mm-hmm. And so as I think as organizations are looking back at what their total cost of ownership is going to be, you start with the license, and I think the Enterprise Client Suite that Microsoft has brought out and the Enterprise Mobility Suite is an incredibly attractive price for a very, very strong set of capabilities. But then we've done all the integration on the back end as well as on the applications themselves, and you don't have to do that. So the total cost of ownership is dramatically lower than if you were to try to go build an identity management solution and a productivity solution and an MDM solution from other vendors and try to put that all together.
One other thing I just want to add that's just really fulfilling about being on the road, besides being away from the family, which is hard, many of the customers that we've gone to visit have been customers of Microsoft for a really long time and have been with initially with SMS and then with the early versions of System Center Configuration Manager, or maybe with Windows and Active Directory and other components. And when you see the consistency where it's the same folks that we've been working with, and they see the consistency on our side where they've trusted us for a long period of time to manage their enterprise and make their enterprise secure, and we go in and talk to them about what their needs are and what their requirements are, we're still connected. And the people and the relationships really matter. And I think that's one of the values of the Microsoft solution is the folks who've been working in this space have been working in this space for a really long time and have that consistent year-over-year relationship. And they know that we're not going anywhere. They know Brad's not going anywhere and has been around for a really long time. And I think that gives them a degree of confidence they can bet with us.
Yeah, and I'm building on that. Time after time after time, we hear we want to use a Microsoft solution for our enterprise mobility strategy, as we rolled out in October, November, December, all these new capabilities, the most significant updates that we've ever done to Intune and the rest of the Enterprise Mobility Suite, I think we really have hit that spot where we deeply understand what customers are asking for, we've delivered that, and we've done it in a way that's just easier to consume, easier to use, and integrated for customers. I think that really is what sets us apart.
So I think we talked a lot about the current state of enterprise mobility. When you guys are looking into the future, how do you see the space changing? How do you see it evolving over time? What should customers be thinking about?
I think we see this trend going from departmental to corporate-wide, and going from 500, 1,000, 10,000 to 100,000, 200,000 devices, and really thinking about how to scale the infrastructure. And that's one of the things that we spend a lot of time thinking about, is how to make sure that the solution really scales and is going to be enterprise class. And really dealing with that pace of change. And that's why, to some extent, the bet we've made on investing in the cloud, I think, is a good bet. Because if anything, we see devices are going to evolve more quickly. Solutions are going to come out more quickly. And the customers were able to adapt to that and really take best advantage to that in their business are really going to win and be ahead. So I think about scale. I think about speed. I think about making the cloud be real. And just delivering an awesome end-to-end solution.
Yeah, and just adding on that, I think the move to the cloud will accelerate, and we're seeing that across the board. As I talk across the industry, the majority of what is being purchased right now, whether it's from us or from others, is a hosted or a cloud service, and I think that'll continue. One. Two, I think the trends around mobile device management, you mentioned 2 out of 3 devices will be a BYO device. I think more and more will become BYO. And we are really beginning to hear things like organizations say, we want to be able to do MAM without requiring MDM. Mm-hmm. We don't want to have to manage the device, but we want to have the ability to manage the application and the data that exists on the device. And then I think finally, just the pace of innovation and the heterogeneity of what organizations are going to be faced with enabling users on will just continue to grow and explode. We've had design points, if you will, for Config Manager, 200,000, 300,000, 400,000 devices per customer. We're now thinking millions of devices per customer. As you think about the average information worker has 3 intelligent smart devices that they're using in addition to a PC. So that kind of scale and that kind of just continued acceleration of new devices, new operating systems, new apps. And that's why, it's so important, I think, to deliver this as a service so we can keep up with all of it.
So obviously, customers are very interested in embracing the cloud, but many are still going to have on-premise deployments as well. So when you're advising customers about how they should be thinking about a long-term strategy for cloud versus on-premise when it comes to unified device management, how are you advising them to think about this?
Well, this is where the conversation has really changed, where 10 years ago when we started down this path of PC management as a service, the question was, well, what are the small things that I can take from on-premise and move to the cloud? But really, we've seen the conversation totally shift. And the question is, what do we have on-premise that we can't move to the cloud? And what are the real blockers that we have? And we see more and more customers really going all in and really trying to move everything into that cloud-based service. And again, just from a where we manage devices, we think that managing internet-facing devices is super effective to do from our cloud service, and that there's still going to be some set of PCs that are intranet-facing, or even mobile devices that are intranet-facing, specifically in retail scenarios, that are really best managed from that on-premise scenario.
And we actually design things in this way. We mentioned the 20-plus years that we've invested in Config Manager and the richness of that solution and the incredibly sophisticated ways that organizations use it. We've assumed that most organizations would start from there, then wanted to move out to the cloud for their mobile device management, but then bring it together through these concepts of weave packs that we've talked about. And so it's been a design point for ours that, start where people are at today, start where organizations are at today with Config Manager, and allow them to move out to the cloud at their own pace. And with that in mind, the agility that we get by being able to update that cloud service on a daily basis, we literally have the ability to update, when a new operating system comes out, a new device comes out, we see a need, we see something that, organizations are in need of. They don't have to wait a year, for example, for a new version of Config Manager to come out like they did, in the past. We can actually just adjust the priority work that the teams are working on and get things out in days rather than having to wait, for weeks or for months. So the agility that enables and that hybrid, connected between on-premise and the cloud ultimately delivers customers more value faster.
So this has been a really interesting conversation. I want to thank you both for the time. Thank you for watching. Please join us for our 3rd webcast in the series, which will air sometime in February.
You know what it's done? All right, thanks everyone for joining us for today's Success with Enterprise Mobility webcast. For today's live Q&A, I'm joined now by Brad Anderson. So Brad, we have you all to ourselves for the next 30 minutes. Thanks for taking the time to do this today.
Yeah, happy new year, everybody. It's been a great start to the new year, and excited to get back in the groove here.
Yeah, so the first question we've gotten submitted today is this one. And it's from someone who I think is in a situation that a lot of enterprises find themselves in, which is this. It says, my company is currently trying to lock down its BYO strategy, but we already purchased an incumbent, another MDM solution. So why should I consider Microsoft for the rest of my BYO strategy?
Yeah, it's actually a really common question that I run into right now. So first of all, let me just try to quantify what I think kind of the newness or the youngness, if that's a word, of this market is, and then I'll kind of go into some of the details about why I think the solutions coming from Microsoft is superior. You know, I went on this a couple of weeks ago where, you know, as I kind of project out the number of devices that are being used around the globe to access corporate data, it's somewhere in that vicinity of 400 million or 500 million devices around the world. And if you take a look at all of the licenses that have been sold by all the small mobile device management vendors, you know, you're kind of in the range of 20 to 25 million licenses, maybe 30 million that have been sold total. So you're only talking about 5, 6, 7% of the entire market has been licensed for these solutions. And what I would argue is today that the predominant solution that's being used to manage mobile devices is actually EAS as a part of Exchange. And so the first point I'm making here is this is a very, very young market. And I think 2015 is the year when we'll start to see a lot of the consolidation begin and, you know, the technology really cross into the mainstream. So the second piece I would say is this. In terms of why I think the Enterprise Mobility Suite from Microsoft is superior to anything on the market, the first piece has to do with the integration that we've done across identity, management, and the productivity applications. And so that integration between AAD, Intune, and then the Office mobile apps, I think it's the biggest reason why organizations who have already purchased an MDM are in the process of moving to the Enterprise Mobility Suite. So if you want to have the ability, we talked about this in the first webcast, and so if you go take a look at what we broadcast in December, Kirk Koningsbauer from the Office team and myself were a part of that webcast. And if you want the ability to deeply be able to manage the Office mobile applications, things like have them participate in a container, be able to manage copy, paste, be able to do conditional access, those types of aspects, you do need to have the Enterprise Mobility Suite from Microsoft to do that. You cannot do that with an AirWatch or a Mobile Iron or any of the other MDM solutions out there. That'd be the first reason. The second reason has to do with really what a big focus of this conversation was, which was around the integration between SCCM and Intune. Fundamentally, we believe that the mobile device management responsibility will reside with the team that's also responsible for PC management. And so we're doing the work that connects our MDM capability with our PC management capability. So one set of tools, one set of processes, one integrated way for IT and for users to access corporate assets across all of their devices, which is PCs and mobile devices. I think those are the first reasons. The third one has to do with the breadth of what is in the Enterprise Mobility Suite. Inside the Enterprise Mobility Suite, there's a bunch of assets around identity management. And in fact, webcast number 3 and number 4 are going to deal, we're going to dive specifically into the things that we're doing around identity management. And we'll talk in some level of detail of what we've learned from some of these incredibly visible attacks that have happened over the last several months. But the things that we have done around identity management and being able to raise up to IT these anomalous or out-of-the-ordinary activities that they can then block, we believe is unsurpassed in the market. So integration with Office, integration with Config Manager, the identity management solutions that ship as a part of Enterprise Mobility Suite, those are the three biggest reasons why we see organizations in mass today moving from what they had deployed from these MDM vendors to the Enterprise Mobility Suite.
Brad, another question we got here is along the lines of in the webcast that we just saw and also on your blog, you talk a lot about PC management and about MDM, but where's Microsoft heading with the management of Mac devices?
Yeah, Yeah, so you know, a couple of years ago, we started to add in capabilities to be able to manage Macs through System Center Configuration Manager. We also have a number of key partners that are able to do this. Like, for example, if you take a look at the works that that Parallels has done, there is a very, very sophisticated and a very rich solution that is there. Now, one of the things that I really am intrigued that Apple is doing is Apple has taken the MDM layer that is shipped as a part of iOS and are shipping that as a part of macOS. And so I think the beauty of what that's going to do is it provides a consistent interface for us to be able to manage Mac devices in the same way using the exact same interfaces and experiences that we do on the other Apple devices. So long term, as I project out what I see happening on Mac, I think that that's going to be one of the ways that the industry, and certainly what we'll do from an SECM, from an Intune perspective, we'll integrate with that MDM layer that will be consistent across all the devices, which incidentally is exactly what we're doing on Windows 10. So if you take a look at what will be shipping in Windows 10, the MDM layer that my team built that is available on Windows 8, that'll actually be a consistent layer across all devices, all form factors, across all of the different Windows operating systems and devices.
Okay. So we have another question here that said, At our company, BYOD goes just beyond the MDM and identity. They look at things like productivity, like especially with Office, and that's a huge part of their strategy. So is Microsoft thinking about bundling the EMM and identity and Office components together?
Yeah, fantastic question, Neil. So I would say we think about this exactly the same. And actually, there's a blog that's going to be going up that I actually finished writing yesterday that will be up later this week that talks about, you know, this exact answer, this exact question in detail. You know, on this, the primary way that organizations have acquired technology to enable users from Microsoft is through something called the Enterprise Agreement or the EA. On December 1st, we had hit our price list that does exactly what this question is about, and it's called the Enterprise Cloud Suite, or ECS for short. And the way to think about ECS is think about this is how you cloud enable your EA. And far and away, the majority of medium and large enterprises around the world have an existing enterprise agreement contract with Microsoft. What the Enterprise Cloud Suite allows you to do is a simple upgrade to your existing EA, and in that Enterprise Cloud Suite is Office 365 E3, the full Enterprise Mobility Suite, and hang on to your hat, a per-user license of Windows. It's the first time we've ever offered that. And so with this Enterprise Cloud Suite, you get the chance or the opportunity to upgrade your existing EA to Office 365, Enterprise Mobility Suite, and a per-user license of Windows. And then you have the ability to use all these capabilities and to enable your users to access Windows desktops, if you will, for example, in a VDI scenario across five different devices. It's a wonderful bargain. You know, on average, organizations are paying, you know, $7, $8, $9 per user per month for that, which is, you know, in many cases what they're paying for for an MDM solution from one of the MDM providers. And so look for that blog to go live here in the next, you know, 2, maybe 3 days. And it's exactly what this is asking for. This is basically our new, in many ways, what is our modern EA.
So, Brad, this next question is looking ahead a little bit. Can you expand on container usage in Windows 10 and in Intune?
Yeah, you know, this is a great question. I'll tell you, it's been interesting as we have built these containers on iOS and on Android, because I'll tell you one thing is for certain. There are certain things that you can do only when you are the operating system vendor. And so, for example, if I take a look at the ways that we've built the containers on iOS and on Android, I think we've done a really great job, but there have been so many times when we'd say, wow, if we just had access to this part of the operating system, we could do this in a way that would even be more user-friendly, more simple for the user. Well, what we've been able to do is share all of that learning and all of our experience with the Windows organization as the data leakage protection capabilities of Windows 10 are being built. And, you know, we've done some limited, we put some limited details out there about what we are doing. You know, we've talked about it at a couple of different events. We actually demoed, I personally demoed it in one of the endpoint zones. We also demoed it at a couple of different conferences. You know, over the next several months, you'll certainly see us coming out and talking in more detail about, you know, the corporate capabilities that are coming inside of Windows 10 in the future. And so I would point everyone and encourage everyone to watch for those events and those those webcasts, the different things that we'll go through that. But I think the interesting thing as I've looked at it is, you know, I think Microsoft with Windows will be the first operating system that really delivers a really capable and very easy to use data leakage protection solution like a container in the operating system. And as I've been able to watch the development of that and as we've done the integration with that, I can tell you that it far and away is the most easy to use both for IT and for the end user in terms of these data leakage protection capabilities. Now, this also, I think, gives us a chance to talk about fundamentally over time, we believe that all the operating systems are going to ship with these data leakage protection capabilities built into it. You know, Windows will be out with Windows 10 with these capabilities built in. You know, we also believe that iOS and Android are going to do that. And certainly as those capabilities ship in the operating system and they and the capabilities are rich, we will take full advantage of them.
So another question that we had here, Brad, is they want to know, when will we see new Intune features that got released in December in System Center and Configuration Manager and Intune Hybrid? When are those things going to be ready to use and ready to start getting deployed?
Yeah, fantastic question. So I think at the meta point on the question is, you know, what's the work that we're doing to improve and accelerate the time when we put new capabilities into Intune to where that also appears in Config Manager. And this is one of the things that the team is just super focused on right now. And so, you know, as I take a look at all the capabilities that we have shipped in November and December, a number of those are today appearing inside of Config Manager, but there's work that the Config Manager team is doing right now that basically enables Config Manager to even be more agile than it is today. And so, you know, We'll come out and talk about the specifics of this, say, over the next 60 days. But I'll tell you, as I have prioritized the work that the teams are doing, prioritizing the work to make Config Manager more agile to where we can update it on a much more frequent basis attached to the cloud is one of the absolute top priorities, one of the top five priorities that the team is working on across the board. And so, you know, some of this is going to require us to deliver a service pack down on top of Config Manager in order to make some changes to Config Manager to make it more updatable through these weed packs. But rest assured, it is one of the top priorities that the entire division is working on.
So, Brad, for people who are trying to plan ahead and start, you know, seeing what they can develop and see what they can get ready for the future, how are they able to get licenses for building a proof of concept?
So on the website, if you go up to you know, either Intune or you go up to Azure Active Directory Premium, you know, go to the Enterprise Mobility Suite, it'll link you off to the three different components. There is a trial that's available that's a full-featured, fully capable trial that you can download and get up and running in minutes. You know, it's been interesting. A number of individuals, a number of companies I've spoken to in the last month have talked about how they've just gone up and been able to bring devices under management literally within a very, very short period of time. Those are full-featured trials. By default, they're 30-day. I can't remember if they're 30 or 90-day now that I'm asking myself the question. I'll send a tweet out on that here in a few minutes. But it's a full-featured version of the service. Nothing is held back, and you can try all aspects of it.
So in this webcast, you also talked a lot about the usability and managing corporate apps versus personal apps differently and how those things can be segmented. Can the end users of these devices see that difference in the management, or can they see that offense, the segregation that's in between them?
Yeah, you know, a lot of this actually goes back to the question and to the answer I gave about these containers and how they work when you're outside the operating system versus in the operating system. So let me give you an example. On an iOS device, the way that these containers work is you separate corporate content and corporate applications from personal, is you're able to basically block the sharing of content between corporate applications and personal applications. And the way that actually shows up to the end user, and this is because of how, you know, how iOS works today, is when the user goes to paste into a consumer app or to a personal application, the paste option doesn't appear. There's no explanation as to why it's not there. It just doesn't appear. In the data leakage protection solution that we have built with are building inside of Windows 10, when you go to actually do something like that, it actually pops up a dialog that says this kind of activity has actually been restricted by your organization. So it actually gives the information the user more information about what is happening. And one of the options there is quite literally the ability to go in and say, there's an override button. The user can override it, but they're notified and they're told that if they override it, that will get logged and IT will be made aware of that. And that's just an example of how when you're in the operating system and you build these data leakage protection solutions, you can make the experience optimized and much more simple and much more informational for the user to help guide the user as they're working in these environments. And those are the kind of things that I hope that we see get built into iOS as well as into Android.
Okay. A big part of the conversation that we just watched was about Android and iOS integration. Can you talk a little bit about the support that exists now for Windows Phone 8, Windows 8.1, and what's going to be the difference between those, the support for those, and what's planned for Windows Phone 10?
Yeah, so if I move up and down the stack, you know, mobile device management, you've got full mobile device management capabilities across all the different Windows platforms. As I look into mobile application management, we chose as a company that we would all line up behind the mobile application management capabilities that are being delivered inside of Windows 10. So, for example, my organization did not go build a container for Windows. We have contributed to the data leakage protection solution that is coming inside of Windows 10. And so if you're looking for that kind of a solution, data leakage protection, containers, walled garden, whatever terms you want to use for it, that'll natively be built into Windows 10 across all the different SKUs, all the different form factors. And because it's in the operating system, I believe it's heads and shoulders above anything that could be built by anybody who is not in the operating system. We will light that up. We will enable the management of that, you know, both through Config Manager and through Intune, you know, in these hybrid scenarios, really on day one when Windows 10 is released. And we actually are working very, very closely to deploy all this inside of Microsoft, and we're going to learn a great deal as we deploy this. And we have a set of TAP customers that we'll be deploying, you know, this. This also brings up an interesting question that I actually saw scroll through here, which is when Windows 10 is released, what is going to be needed from Config Manager in order to manage that? And so I just want to address that one here real quickly as well. So I'll tell you the first thing that I'm super interested or super excited about is the fact that as we're doing all of our testing and qualification with Windows 10, we're actually seeing that there are very few issues that we're finding with SCCM 2012 and even 2007. So our intent is to release a few minor updates to 2007 and to 2012 that will allow organizations to be able to manage 2010 from where they're at today. And then certainly we will be doing work as we update Config Manager that lights up a bunch of the new capabilities that will be shipping inside of Windows 10. So the way to kind of think about it is we're going to do work to make sure that 2012 and 2007 are compatible with Windows 10 so you can start taking advantage and deploying Windows 10 and using Windows 10 in your environment as soon as it's available in the market. And then we'll be doing work as we update Config Manager 2012 to light up a bunch of the new things that are coming inside of Windows 10.
All right. Now, Brad, I've heard you talk a few times before about how much you like your new Microsoft band. And there's a question here that wonders what place you see wearables taking in the enterprise over the next 3 to 5 years, and how is that going to affect the IT department of those companies?
I think the biggest thing that we're going to see is just it's an explosion of devices. And so, for example, let's say that you are an organization that has 10,000 employees. You know, in the past, as you kind of modeled out what kind of an infrastructure would be needed, you modeled you're going to be managing 10,000 devices, maybe 20 or 30,000. With the explosion of these mobile devices, these wearables, you know, are many of our users going to have 5, 6, 7 different devices that may need to be managed? You know, so it's really interesting as we think about the largest SCCM customers in the world who are managing hundreds and hundreds of thousands of devices. You know, we're doing work inside of SCCM, you know, sort of how do we, you know, with the goal of how do you manage 1 million devices from one infrastructure in the future? And certainly as we have built out Intune, we're building out Intune to where it effectively has unlimited scale in terms of the total number of customers and the number of devices per customer as well. And so I think the way to think about it is as you're modeling and as you're planning out for your future, I think you've got to plan on there being many more devices that'll be managed than what you've done in the past.
All right. We have another one that says, my company is based in Europe, and we love Windows devices, but we see a lot of Android-based phones showing up. And we've also noticed that our cloud-based SaaS apps just haven't caught on like they have in the U.S., and they need a solution for the on-prem apps that they have instead of the cloud-based ones. So is Microsoft looking at Android support or supporting on-prem apps with Azure AD?
So our one of the interesting things this is bringing up is we're actually seeing different needs. We're seeing different dynamics in the market, geographies by geography. So, for example, in Germany, the concept of BYO is much less prevalent than, say, the concept of BYO in the United States. And a lot of this just has to do with the regulations and the ways that the governments look at privacy. So what we're doing in terms of the top-level strategy, you know, we talk about our strategy for enterprise mobility management is to deliver that as a cloud service, but then do that in a way that is also closely connected and integrated with your on-premises config manager. As we think about the needs, if you will, of countries, of what governments are mandating, you know, we do see the need for us to continue to have to build Azure data centers and have more and more of those Azure data centers located in specific countries. Let me give you an example. We recently announced the fact that we have an Azure instance that is running inside of the U.S. government that is specific to the U.S. government, is limited to the U.S. government, which enables a very protected cloud, a very protected instance of Azure that is specifically running for the U.S. government. Similar thing in China. So in China, for example, the way that the rules and the laws work in China is Microsoft itself cannot own and operate that data center in China. So we go through a partner who owns and operates an instance of Azure for us in China. And so as we're building out things like, you know, Intune and Azure Active Directory Premium, we're making sure that is 100% that it runs on Azure. So as we see the needs of different countries, of different governments, of whatever the case may be, is maybe we get into verticals where there's financial needs on this, we'll be able to stand up and have Azure instances that deliver the capabilities to the world in compliance with the different regulations and laws, whether it be country by country, whether it be vertical by vertical. And then all of our services, because they're built on Azure, will just naturally follow that. And so as those laws and those rules continue to progress and to evolve, you know, we're very comfortable we'll be able to deliver on those needs. Now, an interesting data point to put on this, we now have, I think as of right before Christmas, 19 regions in Azure, meaning that we have 19 different locations where we have Azure data centers, you know, West Coast, East Coast, China, Australia, Ireland, Brazil, you know, you go through all of these. Number two to us in terms of the investments that have been made in these public clouds is Amazon with 6. Google has 3. And so you see that our strategy is to make sure that we have the public cloud capabilities that all of our services are being built on, broadly distributed, and if we need to do country by country, we will do that, and then all of our services just run on that infrastructure.
All right, so we've got time for two more questions here. The first one, it goes back to the comment you were talking about getting the trials for proof of concepts. And in the event that someone has a fairly sophisticated proof of concept they're working on, is there a way to get a longer-term trial that they can use and work on and work with?
You know, ask that one more time for me, Ben.
If someone has a proof of concept they're working on, and they need more than just a 30 or a 90 day trial,
gotcha.
Can they extend that?
Yeah, you know, and there's different ways to do that. You know, certainly, you know, we have the ability on an account by account, a tenant by tenant basis to extend that, and that's not an issue at all for us. You know, if you're an organization that has an account executive, work with them, they'll contact me or somebody on my team. If not, you know, if you're in that situation, seriously, just send me an email. You know, reach out to me on Twitter or something. You know, my email address is bradan@microsoft.com. You know, we're all about making sure that you have what you need in order to be able to prove the concepts out, get comfortable with it, and start using the capabilities.
Great. That's great. So the very last question here is, anyone who's been looking at your blog over the last 6 or 7 weeks has seen you come out with a series of these game-changing announcements. There's been 3 so far. You hinted that there's a 4th one.
4th, yeah. Number 4 is written.
In just a little bit. Well, maybe you could tell us, you know, what are some of these changes in Intune that are coming next that people can get ready for, people can get excited about, and maybe even a sneak peek at what you're going to talk about later this week.
Yeah, so there's actually 2 blogs that'll be going live this week, and one of them is game-changing announcement number 4, where I'm going to talk about this enterprise cloud suite that we talked about. You know, is this way to easily be able to purchase and license Office 365, the enterprise mobility suite, and that per-user license of Windows. So watch for that one. That one, you know, could be live as quickly as tomorrow morning. The other one is going to be the first blog in a series that I call Architecture Matters. And what I hope to accomplish through this blog series is to help everyone who's looking at these solutions understand the agility and the ability for us to innovate that we have at Microsoft, because we made the decision to build this and deliver this as a cloud service compared to all the others in the market who are doing this in the traditional client server model. So the first blog, you know, has been written. I hope it goes live. It should go live either Thursday or Friday. And it's, you know, everyone that needed to review it and approve what I said, you know, to make sure that it is all accurate has been done. But you're going to see me go into quite a bit of detail and to kind of give you an idea where this is going to go. The first one just kind of talks about personal learnings and things that I've had over the years as, you know, the market has transitioned from this client server architecture to a cloud services architecture and just how different that is. And, you know, I talk in there about the fact that I can't even count the number of times where the architecture of something that my teams have built has been an incredible accelerator, or it's been an incredible shackle on us that has limited our innovation. And architecture really is key to in order to be agile. But then the second blog on this, I'm going to go through how conditional access works in pretty great detail and talk about how conditional access works, how we built it in the cloud service, how it's unique from everybody else in the industry, where everybody else, you know, enforces conditional access by basically blocking access at the edge of the network, which, you know, is just not a cloud model at all. I mean, it's a backwards-looking architecture. And I'll use conditional access as basically then the scenario to ground everybody in, and then, you know, for 10 or 15 posts after that, I'm going to go walk through the details of everything that goes into enabling conditional access. And why it's better to do that as a cloud service.
Very well. Really looking forward to those ones, Brad. So thanks again for everyone for joining us today for this webcast. The next one, which is going to be focused on protecting your infrastructure from threats that are introduced by devices, is going to take place on February 3rd. And then the fourth and final will be on March 3rd, where we'll be talking about the data protection of the corporate assets on that device. You can register for both of those and also watch a recap of this webcast. Just visit aka.ms/emmwebcasts. That's aka.ms/emmwebcasts. So thanks again, and we'll see you all again in February.